Hello, beloved. This is Pastor Steve Castle. I'm so honored that you've chosen to listen to us today. If there's any additional information that you need, please visit our website at www.belovedchurchillinois.com. We thank you that you are continuing to give God an opportunity to minister to your hearts. He has amazing, wonderful plans for your life. We would love to join you on the journey of you finding out the depths of the relationship that you could have with Him. You were created in His image for a beautiful purpose, and He wants to show you that purpose. We continue to believe God with you and for you to accomplish that goal. If you're in the area, please stop by. Remember, at Beloved Church, this is the place where you are greatly loved. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
I'm hot, Gunner. I mean, I know you know that, but my mic is hot. Who was not here last week? Okay. I don't normally do this, but I order you to go to Beloved Church Media on YouTube and get either download or watch last week's message. These things are hard to do because you sound like you're a pompous jerk. And so just to preface this, I'm not a pompous jerk. I'm actually pretty humble. And the fact that I have to say that might almost negate the humility, but whatever. It's really difficult for me to either take people's kind words it says in Proverbs, it says, let another man exalt you, never exalt yourself. And sometimes I want to take that to the extreme because pride is one of the slayers of the body of Christ. It will kill, steal, and destroy like no other things. I just found out something this week about some more people that I dearly, dearly love are being slaughtered by pride. And they, you know, when you're in pride, you don't know it. Because you just say, well, I'm just confident. And there is a fine line between confidence and arrogance. And people who are not in the Spirit, when they look at a person who's in the Spirit doing bold things, the person not in the Spirit will call the person in the Spirit arrogant. I can show you biblical examples all over the place. But true humility is calling yourself what God calls you. You don't call yourself higher, dear Jesus, and you never call yourself lower. Humility is calling yourself what Jesus calls you. You know, it's prideful for you to say, I'm a loser, I'm an addict, it's always going to be this way, I'm never going to make it. You know, that's as much pride as saying, I don't need God, I can do my own thing, He can just step off, I got this. It's the same pride. It's just one of them's the bottom end, one of them's the top end. True humility is calling yourself what God calls you. And I would say that we tend to kind of move that stick a little bit, and there's times that we might get a little self-confident. I have zero self-confidence. Self has done horrible, horrible things to me, to my marriage, to my family. Horrible. Self is my greatest enemy. But I have an incredible amount of Christ confidence. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. All things are possible to Him that believes. That believes what? That Christ is in me, His hope of glory, my hope of glory. So I'm not making this command because I want you to hear the greatest sermon ever. I want you to have a singularity of vision with us. It says in James that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. and he will not be able to believe that he will receive anything from God. Now, I want to say that again because I want you to hear the weightiness of that. James says that a person that is double-minded is unstable in all their ways and will not receive anything from God. Do you hear the weightiness of that? So if there's something that you want to make sure that you steer clear of, it's double-mindedness. You know what double-minded is? Two minds. In other words, a person that, like, let's use this context, the beloved family, the fellowship, the church. A person that steps in here and they have one mind. And then cross the threshold and have another mind. You're not going to receive anything from God. I know this sounds like, well, Pastor, we're under grace. That's legalism, all that. James wrote it. It's in the New Testament, y'all. That's the book of grace. Grace doesn't automatically work in our lives. We have to participate with grace by faith. You don't get saved because Jesus went to the cross. You get saved because you believe that Jesus went to the cross for you. And then was resurrected for you. That's what gives you salvation. The whole world knows Jesus went to the cross. You know that, right? Like, the whole world. There is pretty much no language or tongue that's not aware of the fact that there was a guy 2,000 years ago that did some stuff. We literally tell time by his birth, B.C. and A.D., the whole world is aware of the historical person of Jesus. It doesn't mean anybody's saved. Just because you recognize there's a figure in history that did some incredible things. That doesn't make you saved. In fact, it almost makes it worse. It says in Peter, 2 Peter, that it would be better for you not to know the truth than to know the truth and not walk in it. That's a dangerous statement too. Every legitimate religion, every nation, every tongue, every tribe is aware of Jesus. But that does not make them saved. It does not operate that grace in their life. What operates grace in your life is you receiving it by faith. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, by grace you are saved through faith. They're the power twins. Grace and faith always work together. And that is what's going to manifest opportunity in your lives. And so a double-minded person is a person who even believes certain things and maybe can confess them, but their actions, their lifestyle, the way they live is not congruent with what they believe or they say they believe. Nearly everybody that I know, that I spend time with, is saved. And there are people that I know, that I spend time with, that are some of the most evil, mean, serpent-tongued people that I've ever seen in life. And call themselves Christians. Amen. Nobody... But everybody's like, oh my God. Pastor Steve spends a lot of time with me. Nobody in this room. I'm just talking in general. Because everybody's a Christian. Everybody's saved. You ever met anybody that's like, oh no, I'm totally not a Christian. Hate God. Hate Allah. Hate Hinduism. I hate everybody and everything. No, you've never met anybody like that. Somebody leans somewhere. Most of the time you're going to meet someone here and they're going to be Christian because in America everybody's a Christian, right? You're not born into it. You don't get it by osmosis because the neighbor on you who's a Christian sneezed. It's not a cold that you catch. It's not DNA that you get from your parents. It doesn't rub off on you because you pledge allegiance to the flag. It is dying. It's dying. You have to recognize that you have a life that needs to die. Most folks aren't there. Because they like, you know, I mean, some of the things in their life ain't good, but man, they're going to hang on to a bunch of the other stuff. Good or bad. Attitudes, opinions. I'm not dying that away. You know, I spent all my life building that up. Jesus said that there's one man that built a house on sand. There was another man that built a house on a firm foundation. When the storm came, not if the storm come, when the storm came, one house stood. I want to be the house that stands. We're building a house of grace. You're part of it. This is why I want you to see, even if you were here, go watch it again. Share it with some folks. We're building a house of grace. I want the house to stand. You're going to have storms. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. So I'm letting you know, I'm preparing you now. Things are going to happen. Stuff is going to happen. But the man that builds his house on a rock, the winds blow, the rains plummet, lightning crashes, thunder shakes. And they're sitting inside with their cozy cup of hot cocoa looking out the window saying, look how pretty that storm is. It's one of my favorite things to do in the summer is sit out in the sunroom and watch the lightning, watch the thunder, hear the thunder. Beautiful. Because I'm safe inside. I want you to be safe inside. Now for some of you, you know, the word commitment, I might as well cuss you. Because, you know, you're just asking too much, preacher. You want me to be committed? Do you not know what that costs me? I know. I'm married. The one that's inviting you for commitment, do you know what it cost him? Most don't. Most have never really gone to Golgotha. They've never actually been there in their heart. They've never sat down with the four Gospels and read the crucifixion and put themselves there. If you ever put yourself there, He'll never ask you to do anything that is too much for you to do. Because you see what He did for you. So when you hear commitment, if it makes you cringe, then maybe that cross is yet to be a revelation to you. But I'll tell you this, that the assembly that is required, some assembly that is required, is going to be required of you. If you were to ask God what the most important moment of the week is in your life, what do you think He would say? Would your answer and His answer be the same? Come on now. Come on. Let's be real. We're in church. We could at least be honest. This is not the moment of your week. But to God, this is. He gets to be with His kids. When our moments become His moments and His moments become our moments, we're going to be single of mind. I know this is not what folks want to hear. because you want to come to a Grace Church so I can pat your booty? Go out there and get them, Tiger. It's all going to be okay. And I'd love to do that. You know how easy it'd be to stand up here and just whistle Dixie and put candy in your hands and Mary Had a Little Lamb, 3 points in a poem. You know how easy that is? For real. I have peers who do 3 points in a poem, 15 minutes, that they downloaded from pastorsrus.com and make $90,000 a year. Plus housing allowance, plus cars, plus... You know how hard it is to stand up on a regular basis and look at people that you love for? I'd take a bullet for anybody in this room any moment. And tell people that you dearly, dearly love to invite them into places that is challenging to my relationship with you and challenging potentially to your relationship with this entire group. I get it. I totally get it. But I don't know how else to do it than to be honest and be sincere and to be transparent and to do what I'm asked to do. It's the only way I know how to do it. I can't do 3 points in a poem. I stink at that. It's either passion or poo. And I don't do poo. So please watch that video. Share it with people that you think maybe they're unstable in all their ways, or they're not receiving the things from God that they should be receiving so that they can have one mind. Because we're going to build this house of grace together, beloved. And I'm talking to you. If you're in this room, I'm talking to you. You're called. So this is some assembly required dose. For those of you that didn't see some assembly required one, you're just going to have to pray in tongues and get it in the spirit. But for those of you that were here last week, this is going to be the actionable part of the encouragement, the exhortation that last week was. I had it in my heart to kind of talk about it a little bit and then maybe move on to something else. But the Holy Spirit had other plans. In the mail this week, I had a letter from one of you. I'm going to skip some parts because I can't read some of the things that they said about me. I'm not there yet. The Holy Spirit had showed me about 4 or 5 weeks ago the us at the end of Jesus is important. That whenever we say His name, Jesus, we're actually saying Jesus, us. We are one together, never to be separated again. You know, you can't break the us off of Jesus. You can't take the you out of Jesus. Not the same word. Changes the whole world. We are one together, never to be separated again. When I received this revelation, I kept meditating on it and asking if this was for me only or was I to get up and share it during the morning worship time, but didn't get any confirmation, so I waited. Let me say that. Normally, Dennis is like a gatekeeper. People are going to get words. The Holy Spirit's going to speak. Well, not. The Holy Spirit will speak to every single person in this room. Any chance you'll give him an ear. Most of us have learned how to tune him out because we just don't want to hear what he's got to say. But sometimes in this environment, you got your guards down and your spirituality is jacked way up. You're on like a little spiritual morphine. And so the Holy Spirit be able to to slip in a word or two. And so sometimes when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, a lot of people say, well, that's for somebody else. And it might be. Because in this environment, there's a lot of somebody else's that maybe aren't listening. Amen? Anybody? Don't amen that. So it might be for somebody else. But let me say this. It might be for somebody else personally, so maybe you need to seek. It might be for the body. It might be for you. I'm going to go with number three most of the time. The Holy Spirit doesn't spend a whole lot of time talking to you about someone else. When he gets a chance to talk to you, he's most likely going to talk to you. Because I'll be honest, you know, we don't spend a whole lot of time with that whole interaction back and forth. And so that's why we've got Dennis as a gatekeeper, because sometimes we're going to filter that those words through him to see if there's an agreement in his spirit that that's for the congregation. It's not because we're being mean. It's not because we're shutting people down. It's not because if Dennis is saying that maybe not now or maybe, you know, whatever, that doesn't mean that what you got is wrong. It doesn't mean that you didn't hear God. It doesn't mean that you're a jerkhead loser and we don't like you. What it means is that it might be for you and it's so powerful that you think it's for everybody, or it might be for another time. Or it might be for the congregation that you need to pray into, and then I'm going to preach it 5 weeks later. Anybody? Just like kind of nod to God if you're... Amen. So that's why we do that way, is so we can get that right. So I was going to see if I was going to get up and share it during the morning worship time, but I didn't get confirmation, so I waited. When you first started ministering Sunday, my conscience started to wander. What kind of Christmas sermon was this going to be? Amen. You know how religious we are? We don't realize it. You know how religious and traditional we are?
Yeah.
Well, man, we didn't have candles on Christmas Eve. Because candles for some way give us another opportunity to worship Jesus in a more powerful way, or it's because that's what great-grandma did, and so we just need to have candles on Christmas Eve. I'm here to tell you that if it's a traditional religious thing, you're most likely not going to experience it here at Beloved. I stay so far away from that. I stay so far away from it, I'm almost concerned about getting into error on the other side than I am about that. If it's traditional and it's garbage and it's just old clunky religion banging off the wall, I ain't interested. I'm not bringing it to you neither. God wants to do something incredible, and I am not going to tether him down with religion. We're going to be prophetic. We're going to do crazy things. We're going to experience miracles. We're going to have people get their hands laid on them, because that's what the head of the church said the church is supposed to look like. If it can't look like the way that he said it should look like, then what in the world are we doing? Dear Jesus. I wonder what kind of Christmas sermon this is going to be. I wondered that too, by the way. Thank God I've been taught to rebuke the negative thoughts and kept an open mind. Amen. You know this is a good person in the church, right? So when the guys came out with the box, I sat at attention because I knew something great was about to happen. I love to see things demonstrated because it gives me a picture to remember what was said. Then you reached in the box and took out the board with only us showing. I knew I was about to get my revelation of G's us. Wow! They wrote that. The demonstration put to death more of my stinking thinking and misunderstandings. You see the humility here? Amen. I don't get a lot of these letters. I usually get the other letters that tell me that I am the stinking thinking person. God was showing me that I do hear from him and that I had a piece of the revelation and was waiting on the rest of it. And praise God, you were obedient and obeyed him, and I grew a greater understanding of his ways. Thank you. I got a letter because someone said thank you for my message. It's incredible. That's not why I'm reading this. I'm just That just struck me right there. I am blessed to be in a church family where grace abounds. The leaders truly share the Word of God truthfully. People show you the love of God. Any amens there? Do you get loved when you're at Beloved? Is it sometimes maybe even awkward, like you get a hug you don't want, or like... Amen. So you're gonna, we're gonna err on the side of maybe too love, which is a good place to be, right? So if you're like, if you're anti-love, just remember that 1 John chapter 4 verse 8 and 1 John chapter 4 verse 16 says God is love. People show you the love of God. You know, love's not an emotion. Love's not a feeling. Love is an action. It's a person. His name is Jesus. The action is the cross. Anything else is Hollywood. That's why sexuality in today's world is so jacked up, because Hollywood tells you that love is sex. There couldn't be anything more far from the truth.
Exactly.
True love. Never mind. One day I'm going to preach on that. Amen. People show you the love of God. We come in with baggage and are accepted. Anybody got baggage? Oh, yeah, I put my hand up, and then all of a sudden you all gone. Oh, well, pastor's got me. I got stuff. Can someone say this with me? Issues. Yeah, I got some. Some of them are in this room. So I can't get delivered of it. I got to deal with it, right? Because I don't want to get delivered of anybody in this room. Amen? Some of us got baggage. Some of us got issues. We come in with baggage and we are accepted. Hey, you know, when you come to Beloved, we don't ask you to leave your issues at the door. Because most of you would turn around. Well, my issue is important. Well, God bless you. Hey, come on in. Bring your baggage. At some point, you'll get tired of carrying it. You'll leave it at the altar and you'll leave without it. When you leave, we're going to take it, we're going to box it up, we're going to put it in a dumpster, and we're going to have a bonfire. And you're not going to be able to get it back.
Amen.
If you come in with baggage, you need to be expected for me to come along with a big, huge, like Crocodile Dundee size knife and want to cut the handles off your baggage and drag them up to the altar. Now you can fight me, because I won't stab you. I'll threaten you. But I want to drag it up here so that when you leave, we can take it, throw it in a dumpster, and burn it up. But you can keep it too. If you really want to fight for it, you can keep it. You can keep your issues. You're still going to be accepted. Ephesians 1:6 says you are accepted in the Beloved. That is where the name of this church came from. You are accepted in the Beloved. You might not feel like it. You might not think like it. Maybe you don't have the right emotions. Maybe that one person looked at you sideways. You didn't like the way that Pastor Steve said that thing. You know, maybe nobody is approaching me the way I want to be approached. Proverbs says if you want to have friends, show yourself friendly. You know, some people give people space because that's what they think they want. So if you are portraying yourself as a person that wants people to give them space, and then people give you space, and then you're mad because people are giving you space, that's not fair. It's just not fair. If you want to have friends, show yourself friendly. If you want folks to come in and invade your space, which almost nobody wants, but we know how to do it anyway. Sometimes we like sneak up behind you and then like invade your space. Oh, crap. Pastor Steve hugged me. It was creepy. Like a whole hug, not one of those fake side hugs. He whole hugged me. You're accepted in the Beloved. That's what the Bible says. You're accepted here.
I'm probably going to try to kiss you.
Did you hear that? Like, people gripped their seats, right? There was like, not now.
I know. I'm almost certain. I'm not truly certain because I haven't prayed about it, but I'm almost certain that some of the reasons folks come right after service starts and then split right before I get to them is because they don't want to kiss. I haven't verified that. Like, I haven't gone up to anybody. Hey, you don't want me to kiss you? Why do I kiss folks? Because the Bible says. It says, greet one another with a holy kiss. You know, there's a lot of ways to do impartation. You can lay hands on. You can lay lips on.
Madi right now is staring at me with a death stare because later on in the Spanish service, she says, if you say something during your service that I'm not going to translate, I'm not going to translate it. I said, you will not be rebellious. You will follow the leading of your pastor. I said, I ain't going to translate it. Would you have translated that one? Lay on lips? What's the Spanish of laying on of lips? Never mind. We hear the Word of God and we see it demonstrated through others. We start releasing the baggage. Amen. We start releasing the baggage and we receive the love of God. You know, that's a good trade. Right? Like, throw down the luggage. It's heavy anyway. And it's ugly. You probably have been carrying it for years. It's got dirt on it. It's got scratches. It's all stinky because you can't wash it. Nasty. Just leave it anyway. You don't need them issues. They're not that important. You know, some of the highest priority things in your life, to God, they're like, for real? Perspective. Then we take the love and pass it on to others. God has placed you in beloved church for this reason. And He loves how His church is growing. God loves you growing. Does any parent love to see their kids grow up and get mature? God does too. You are greatly loved of God. And at least for now, God has you where He wants you. Now, this person said this to me. They reminded me I'm greatly loved of God. Man, I needed that. I needed that. I needed to be reminded that God loves me. There was they did this little contest, and they had a bunch of five-year-olds try to explain love. And one of the five-year-old's little explanation of love is, people forget, so you have to say it a lot. Amen. Sometimes people forget, so you have to say it a lot. Amen. Anybody ever forgot that they're loved? You know, like you're in a moment, someone at work is being ugly to you, spouse is being ugly to you, a Christian spouse. I know, nobody in this room. You have to remind yourself that God loves you. You actually have to remind yourself sometimes that your spouse loves you. You have to remind yourself that your kids love you. I have two of them. Trust me. You've got to do it. You've got to remind yourself that your parents love you, kids. They do. Well, it doesn't look like the kind of love. I know, because you're so grown up and you're so wise, you got it all figured out. My parents used to tell me, wait till you have kids. I'm like, yeah, you know it. When I got kids, I'm going to do it right. Guess what I do? The way they did it. Dang it. Thought I was going to be smarter. You are doing the will of the Father. Many lives have been changed. Many are being changed. And many more are coming to be changed. God is good. God's timing is perfect. God is always faithful. Again, thank you for your obedience to Father God. God's heart shining through you. God's walk being displayed in your life. And God's love coming forth to all. Blessed to call beloved my church family. Family. Depending on where you come from and what's going on and what you've experienced, that word either is evil and wicked and painful. Or not. But few people really see it the way God sees it. You know, all of creation exists because He wanted family. And most of us would do whatever it takes to get out of family. Man, I was renting a basement for my parents when I was 15 years old. Because I couldn't move out legally, so I just moved down. And if I'm paying rent, I get to make the rules, right? Isn't that what your parents do? This is my house, I'm paying the bills, I make the rules. Well, I'm paying rent. Showed them, didn't I? Dang it. They were right again. It gets tiresome after a while. Parents always being right. Because we want to get out of family. Right? Your spouse is wrong, just divorce them. Your kids are jerks, just throw them out. Your parents are mean, just run away. You know how many times I ran away? You know how many times I got hungry when I ran away? Figured out that I specialized in cereal. It was my cooking skills. It's one of the reasons I went to learn how to be in the restaurant business, is so if I ever ran away, I could feed myself. That's not true. Hebrews chapter 10. It sounds good, though. Hebrews chapter 10. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Let me give you a quick overview. The book of Hebrews is about Jesus being the Son of God and being proved that He's the Son of God based upon the Old Testament. That He is the priest, not a priest. He is the priest between God and man. Anybody that tries to stand between man and God, they are literally telling Jesus that He is disqualified to do that. For example, if you think you need to get someone else to pray for you, because their prayers are going to be heard better than yours. The whole ministry of this intercessor thing, I don't have time to get into that, but I can't find it in the New Testament. Because there is only one mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ. There's no intercessor between God and man. There was in the Old Testament because there needed to be an intercessor. There had to be a man to go to God for men. But in the New Testament, there is a man. His name is Jesus. Amen. I know a bunch of folks just like, whoo! Send me an email. We'll talk about it. The whole book of Hebrews wants us to know that the man, Jesus Christ, has produced something for us all. And now, the covenant that was given to us, that God wanted to see happen in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33, it's quoted twice in the book of Hebrews, that your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more, is the covenant that God wanted us to have with Him. He wanted us to know that He is not having relationship with us based upon our sins. Now, you are probably still there, whether you know it or not. You are probably still at a place where you think that your relationship with God is contingent upon your sins or lack thereof. You are wrong. You still have to love me. But you're wrong. It is not based on your sins. Jesus died away the object of sin. He died it away. To God, He is not dealing with you based upon your sins. Remember, the word sin means missing the mark. Anywhere you think that you've missed the mark, you cannot apply that towards your relationship with God. If you do, you get back out of the new covenant and you get into the old covenant. So the entire book of Hebrews revolves around this incredible statement in Jeremiah 31:33 that says that this is the covenant that God wants to make with mankind. That it is not about sin. And I'm sorry if you've been to church any length of time in your life, because most preachers will stand up here and they'll tell you that it is about sin. You need to quit sinning. You dirty sinner. Quit being a sinner. If you could just be told to quit being a sinner, what in the world did Jesus come for?
Exactly.
Amen. Okay. So this is the whole context. And now this verse starts out with therefore. Therefore what? Because your relationship with God is no longer contingent or not contingent upon your sins
Because of that, now, brothers, sisters, you have boldness to come into, because of the blood, you have boldness to come into the place. What place? Relationship. Intimacy with God. We have boldness to enter into the holiest of holies because of His blood. By a new and living way, which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. This is one of those verses that makes it so that I will never do anything religious at this church. If I smell religion on it, I'll flush it quicker than I know what to do. I'd rather repent to God that I flushed something that didn't need to be flushed than allow religion to strangle anybody in His room. By a new and living way. Not by the old way. Not by shofars and not by prayer tallits and not by Sabbath days and not by new moons and not by blood sacrifices and not by all that stuff. Not by any of that are we going to enter into the Holy of Holies. We're only going to enter in through His blood. And having a high priest over the house of God, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. This is what a person who's in the New Testament feels like. True assurance, full heart, coming into a face-to-face place with the Father. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And I'll tell you what, that little parenthetical statement has gotten me through some of the worst storms of my life. He is faithful that promised. Now the problem is that not a lot of people know the promise. So find the promise and you'll find the faithful one to it. No promise, no faithful. When you find the promise, He can be faithful to it. I know, I just told you to read the Bible. How dare I? How dare I? Because you're busy. I'll tell you what, you get the promise. And all that busyness will fall to the wayside about you looking for the faithful one chasing that promise. And let us consider ourselves and be super selfish. Let us consider... Look at your neighbor and say, I'm considering you. Okay, now some of y'all didn't have neighbors. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to identify a neighbor. Didn't Dennis say something about a neighbor? I know some of you guys are so deep in the spirit and you're chewing on what I'm thinking that you're just like, wait, what did he say? So listen. I'm going to say, look at your neighbor. So find a neighbor. Okay, so pick a neighbor. If they're sleeping, wake them up. If they're sleeping, don't tell me. Let us consider one another. Say, I consider you. In other words, somebody's more important on this earth than you. How'd that feel? Right in the jugular. Where's that at? I was close. Let us consider one another to look at all the people all of a sudden that passed anatomy class. Yeah, and I talk about the anatomy and they're all like, whoa! And then this one time I get it wrong and they're like, hey, you got it. You can't have it both ways. You can either have me preach about anatomy or not. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You know you're supposed to be provoking. You know, amen. When we were kids, my parents used to tell me a lot more than my other brothers, stop provoking him. I wished I knew this verse back then. No, I'm provoking. The Bible says to provoke, Mom, to love the good works. You know, you should call or text people or run into them and provoke them. To love. Are you loving folks today? You know, if I walked up to you, if I seen you at the Walmart and I walked up to you and say, hey, have you done anything good for anybody and are you loving folks today? You'd be like, man, why you gotta be all like spiritual and Christianity all the time, man? Just say hi and comment on my saltines. This is what we're supposed to be provoking. Supposed to be poking you. Hey, how's your love walk? How is the atmosphere of Christ following you around? Provoke to love and to good works. Why? Because we're not supposed to forsake the gathering together. The assembly. I want to drill down for a second. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Because that's the manner of some. You know, the Bible says there's Christians that don't go to church. It's not very positive about it. Because if you go on and read this, it says sooner or later they fall away. I don't really all the way understand what the depth of that is, but let me tell you this. It's just safer to gather together. You know, we're not that church. It's like, you know, like 7 days a week and 4 hours a day. Like, you know, we're not trying to, you know, get you to put the silver stars on the chart and maybe you get to heaven. It doesn't work that way. We're asking you to be a part of something that God's doing. Assembling. You know, an assembly is not a mob. You know, if everybody just came in here and everybody just prophesied and floated around the room and took the flags and whacked people in the head and, well, I'm worshiping God, that would be a mob. God doesn't have a mob. God has an assembly. This Greek word is not pronounceable by me, episynagogo, blah, blah. It's a compound word. It's epi and that. Something that you might notice is that this word looks kind of familiar, this backside of the epi, synagogue. That might even sound familiar if I say it that way. That's not actually the way you say it, but that word is familiar to you, synagogue. Epi, synagogue. This is the word assembling. I won't tell you that I dug this out of the garbage. Because Ryan didn't know what I was preaching on. Some assembly. Coming together, not a mob. On purpose. Epa synagogue. Epa means to the fullness of, unto. Let me read the actual, this is right out of the Greek. A specific grouping together that fulfills, builds on, the specific purpose of the gathering together. A specific gathering that builds on a specific purpose. It's a hard word to say. I said it twice. It's specific, specific. It's not random happenstance, like just show up, see what happens. You know how much, you know I can increase your experience on Sunday morning by 10 times. Is anybody interested? No, that's not enough. Never mind. I can increase your experience on Sunday morning by 10 times. Spend 10 minutes believing God for things that are going to happen here before you get here. Because right now, most of you are probably zero. So I can increase your experience by 10 times if you spend 10 minutes. Believe in God for things to happen when you get here. Not just for you. To provoke others unto love and good works. And you'll increase your experience by 10 times. A group of people gathered together in one place for a common purpose. Gathered together. Not a mob. Number two, the action of gathering together as a group for a common purpose. What's the purpose? Build the house of grace. Raise up the most wealthy, healthy, and influential group of people in the entire region. And you need to say that over yourself. You know what true humility is? Call yourself what God calls you. Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 19 it says, "Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation." You are not strangers. Amen. Amen. I don't care if this is your second time here. You're not a stranger. God knew you were coming. He's known you your whole life. You're here for a reason. You didn't just stumble in here. You didn't just wake up and because of the bad pizza last night had a bad dream and decided to go to church. God's been drawing you all your life. And He's been drawing you here for at least 7 years, because that's how long we've been here. He's been drawing you here. You're not here because of an accident. You just didn't say, well, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a church by the toe. You're here on purpose. His purpose. That's a big deal. You know, you're doing the will of God. Amen. You know, you don't get to hear that very much. You're doing the will of God. Some of you could even engage your heart. Man, think about what happened then. You're already in the right place with the right people doing the right thing. Just imagine what would happen if you engage your heart. Woo! You are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. How important is Jesus to this whole thing? There ain't no thing without Him. In whom all the building fitly framed. Do you see this language? Fitly framed? Fitly framed? Built? Assembled? Fitly framed? You know, there is some really important language that we need to embrace here. Fitly framed together, grown into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Those last three verses uses the word built, builded, and built. Built, builded, and built. Assembly, built, builded, and built. This is a big deal to God. This is a huge, huge deal to God. To allow this to happen, to allow some assembly to be required. Built. So you know what this Greek word is? Epa something. I can say the upa part. It's the same epa. It's the same beginning. But it has this other one. Kodomio. You know what this word means? Apt upon fitting, which intensifies the domio part, which means to build up or to edify. Intensely edify and build. You know what intense building is? That's a building project. Anybody ever been a part of a building project? Man, it gets intense. I used to build restaurants or be a part of a management team that built restaurants. It was intense. Building restaurants, getting everything right. I mean, things were down to literally a quarter of an inch. On making stuff fit and putting equipment in and all that. I mean, building projects are intense. Like, stuff's got to happen. You lose sleep. It costs money. Properly, appropriately built on. Following a plan. Following a pre-designated, pre-defined specifications. Y'all remember the instruction manual? I think I brought it. I think. Hey, Bob, will you come hold this? So you got an instruction manual. You know, you need someone in a building project who can read blueprints. Now, they're not like educated blueprints. But they're blueprints. Those are the blueprints. You need someone, if you're going to build something on purpose, you need someone to build with what is supposed to be built. You gotta have blueprints. Anybody ever built anything without a plan? Just started hammering 2x4s together. Oh, that'll do, honey. I'll burn it down when you leave. It ain't working that way. We're not gonna do that, beloved. We're not just gonna willy-nilly throw folks in and throw, like, oh, hey, come on in, join the mob. No, we got blueprints. This is how we're gonna build the house of grace. We're going to bring people in. We're going to teach them how to be healthy, how to be wealthy, and how to be influential. how to provoke one another unto love and good works. But you got to have someone that knows the plan, that can read the plan. Anybody ever read Blueprints? They're in like a special language. Anybody ever seen them? They're in a language that you, just the average person just can't go, oh, okay, let's build that. You got to have somebody with some specialized information. So Bob's got some specialized information, but Bob needs help. Bob needs someone that he can trust that's going to be able to take the blueprints and put them into the actual building. Someone that's going to be able to make sure that the laborers that are putting things together are matching to the blueprints. He's going to give them the language, but he needs someone to come along. Paul, can you come along? He needs someone to come along and is going to say, now the blueprints say this, but this doesn't look right. It doesn't quite measure up. So he's going to have to, I don't know, train folks on how to make sure that they get exactly what the blueprints say. But let me say this, that Bob and Paul cannot by themselves build a building. That was a good place for some amens right there. You could have like put a shot in on them and they would have never known it. One of the things that you got to have when you're building is you got to have someone who can put the pretty on. All the men said amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We can't put the pretty on. We're utilitarian. If it was up to us, the doors would just be on hinges that swung by themselves. There'd be no handles. There'd be no paintings. There'd be no Christmas lights. If it was up to me, you know what the Christmas decorations would have been? Three crosses on the wall. Oh, that's right. They've been there all year. They're up. You got to have someone that can add that flavor of life, that spice, that beauty, that discernment to what's why are we building this? Is it just so that we can say, hey, we built something? Or is it like we're going to live there? It's going to be cozy. It's going to be a place that we love to be. Jess is really good at making sure things are pretty. Now, that's not the only function, but we need someone to make sure that Paul's making it pretty. Because Paul wouldn't make it pretty by himself. Now we also need someone who's going to come along. There has to be. There has to be an Ed. There has to be. There has to be someone. You know what Ed's going to do? He said no. He's going to rebel. You know what Ed's going to do? Ed is going to make sure that Paul, that Jess, that Bob are fed.
Praise God.
You know how many calories you burn when you're building a house? Does it fit? You know how thirsty you get when you're building a house? Anybody ever built anything? It's hard work. You get slivers. Someone needs to come pull slivers out. Someone needs to make sure you're okay while the process is going on. Remember, this is a big building project. Somebody there has to be the one that's going to make sure that folks are being taken care of during the process. Someone has to be there. They have to have a heart. They have to have a soft heart and able to do that. Because sometimes, you know, I mean, Paul, man, he's just getting her done. Like, get out the way, swinging hammers, throwing nails, like, whoa. You come on. Hey, you need to stop, take a break, drink some water. Anybody ever been like, oh man, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I gotta stop. I gotta take a break. And then there's gonna be someone else that is necessary to the team. This is PC Wolves. Hey, Stace, can you come up? Someone has to be able to come up and join the team, and I'm gonna be a part of the congregation. Hey, you guys are doing great! Did I pick the right person, y'all? You guys are awesome! I didn't tell you how beautiful you are! You guys are amazing! Everybody loves you! Did I have the right person? Anybody know Stacy? I got the right person. I'm telling you, you can do it! If anybody can do it, you can do it!
Amen!
You got to have that person on your team. They got to be there. Now, does anybody know what's missing? Builders. Because these folks are doing some functions that ain't building. He's checking the building, knows what the building looks like, making sure that the builders are taken care of, making sure when the building is built that it's pretty and right, making sure that everybody understands that they are greatly loved for building the building. There has to be a way to organize this mess. So, hey, Bob, why don't you come up here with me? You're going to be an A. I don't know A what, but go ahead and put that on. And then, hey, Ed, why don't you come up here? You're going to be a P. Bob, you're going to be right here, sir. And then you're going to be kind of next to him. And then Stacy's going to be an E. So if you'd wear that and stand next to Edward. And then, this is one of my favorite. No, I think we're not going to have Ed be a P. Because you're my favorite. So you're going to have my name. I mean S. I mean Superman. Now, I gotta tell you right now, if I would have made these letters, it would have been atrocious, but my beautiful niece, Allie, helped me with the artisticness, because it wasn't happening. If you've ever seen me be arty, you don't want to see it. I think Paul makes a great T, kind of long, broad shoulders. And then Jess, she loves green anyway. We'll make Jess be. And so what we have here, we've assembled a team. Let's see. How about you come over here? How about you come over here? And then you come over here. And then you come right here. So what we have is a pest. That's kind of how people feel about doing the whole assembly thing. Kind of pesty. I rebuke my pastor. He's pesty. But the whole time we're trying to build something really, really important. Maybe I got them wrong. Maybe there's a way. How about we take Jess and put her here, and yeah, we'll put Bob next to Jess. And then how about Superman?
Yeah.
And then we can paste it. If we have these five operating in the church, maybe we can paste some things together. It's like building, only like in kindergarten. But you got to start somewhere. And don't eat the paste. It tastes all right, but after a while it kind of, never mind. So we need this fivefold ministry of the prophet and the apostle and the shepherd and the teacher and the evangelist in order to assemble. Because if we don't have the prophet, you know, it's going to be boring around here. Anybody know that the prophetic, it's like irritating half the time, and the other time it's like what keeps it like, man, thank God that happened. Woke me up. I was in a dead sleep, and then that prophetic person did that whole woo. So we got to have the prophetic and the apostle. Man, if nobody understands the blueprints, you realize you're not going to build nothing really of any value without blueprints. And somebody's got to be able to read that. Somebody's got to get the direction from God. The apostle, the apostolic has to be functioning in the church, and the shepherd. Dear Lord, the sheep will die. No shepherd. The Bible specifically says if you want to kill the sheep, strike the shepherd. You know, the devil's after me all the day. He's trying to kill me something fierce. But he's a loser. He can't get to me. A 10-foot pole? or with a 30-foot cross. He just can't get to me. But man, he'd love to kill me, strike me, y'all. But we're trying to paste something together. We're trying to build something. And man, you got to have a teacher. The teacher's like, look, here's what the blueprint said. The blueprint said that it's supposed to be this way, and we're going to make it that way. Because if we get off a little bit, if you get off a little bit on the foundation, you know the whole building tip over. If you get off a little bit on one wall, then the upstairs, it'll fall in. You got to have that guy. I mean, he's irritating. That when the teacher comes on, no, it's got to be this way. Oh, shut up. I'm just trying to build. No, it's got to be that way. It's got to be square. Anybody ever remodeled a house? And you get to a corner and you're like, what the crap happened here? Why is it supposed to be a 90 degree and it's like 112? Yeah, because someone wasn't paying attention to the teacher. The teacher was trying to teach, but they're like, oh, well, just measure once and cut twice. It don't work that way. If I measure one and cuts twice on you, you might be cut off. And then we got to go rescue you, leave the 99, come find you because you fell in a ditch. And man, that's just boring doing all that all the time. Just come be together and be a good little sheep. Go, amen, amen, amen. Then you don't have to be a goat. Because goats go, but. Don't do that. I don't want to have to chase you. And then return you back into a, and then you got to have, every church needs a Stacy.
Amen.
You're loved by God. Jesus wants you to be in the family. You need to come to church with me. Right? The evangelist is the proclaimer. But the church ain't built on these five. You got to have a big, bald Jesus.
Lord, I apologize for who I picked to play you. I know that we live in grace, and I know that of all the people in the church, he needs the most grace. But Lord, so Lord, apologize. Please don't strike me or anything.
We need a Jesus. We got to have Jesus. Has got to be like right behind, like right behind, like right. He's got to be right behind these folks. And you can't take the us or the you out of Jesus. And you can't take these folks out because, you know, if Ed's not making sure we're fed, we're all going to be famished. Right? And if Stacy's not encouraging us, you're going to be like, why are we building this stupid thing anyway? Who wants to build this dumb thing? Who called it? What kind of... And he's like, this is what the blueprints say. It's supposed to be big and beautiful. You're making it little and dollhouse. We're not going to make little dollhouse. Big, beautiful. We got to have these folks. But they're missing... They're peeps. So, Stacy's got to duplicate herself, and Paul's got to duplicate himself, and Ed's got to duplicate himself, and Bob's got to duplicate himself, and Justin's got to duplicate herself. So, go get some builders. See, this is what happens when I hand you guys cards, Lord. Okay, just invite someone to be a part of the assembly. Man, I wish it was this easy to invite folks to church. Now we got a bunch of builders. So now we got the paste and the ones that they went and got to be part of the... Did you go downstairs to get someone? You know, what a good shepherd. He went all the way. You know, he didn't skip corners like a bunch of... other folks. He went all the way to the back and got, I mean, does not Ed have a shepherd's heart? He went all the way back and got the back row, the most, amen. Good job, shepherd. Jesus, someone's in charge back there. Well, I got my back turned. Sometimes you know. You don't want to turn your back on some sheep sometimes. We're going to offer you some of these. We need some folks to build. Amen? We've assembled a fivefold. Some of them aren't real, like super fivefolding it right now. But we're going to make sure that they're getting it fivefolded. I'm not the one building this church, y'all. I can't do all this. I'm a part of this. We need builders. Obviously you, that was the front part of this message. You need to be involved. You're here, you need to be involved. But there's also some people that you know.
that need to be here. Amen? Because there's assembly required. It's only some. We're not trying to steal your whole life. We're just trying to give you the life that you were created to have. Amen? Who would like some of these so you can help pace people together? There's going to be people back here. This is simple. But, hey, we're building something. We need you to come. Can you please come help? Can you help us build? And I know it takes you out of your comfort zone to actually talk to people. Just pretend you're at Walmart and they're a cashier. You got to talk to them. And just invite them. And if you get into some deep conversation and it gets over your head, have them call me. My number's on it. You can even pretend to be Steve. Hey, I'm a jerk. My name's Steve. You want to come to my church? And then someone will call me. Hey, is this the jerk? Yeah, I'm a jerk. Come on over. I'll buy you a coffee. Maybe I won't be so jerky. I'll be venison. So I would like for you to consider, like, on purpose. You're a part of the family, but we're not big enough. We got some important things to do. It's going to take more than us to build. Did you see how big the... Look at that thing back there. I mean, for real. You think these folks are going to build that? I mean, I love y'all. We need to have these folks pace some folks together. We need you to help. Amen? All right, please stand to your feet. I'm going to pronounce a blessing over you. An empowerment. This is what God says you are. Remember humility? Call yourself what God calls you. This is what God calls you. Hold out your heart by holding out your hands. These words have power. They have the Holy Spirit's power on them. It's not my words. They're His words. Beloved. Remember what that means? The ones that are greatly loved? God calls you that. Beloved. I pray above all things that you prosper and you are in good health. To the degree that your soul is prospering. You believe that? If you believe it and you receive it, close your hands, put it in your heart. All right, God calls you blessed. All right, I love you. Thank you for coming and being a part of the assembly. And we're going to go ahead and send the pasters out to fix anything on you that needs to be fixed.